This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Frank Sinatra there for you. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. Yeah, it's Tuesday, and we're on the air here. A little strange, isn't it? Got to get used to it. I am Paul Molloy. We come to you now Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. Today is Tuesday, the 10th of March already. Wow. And we got a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Angela Logomassini of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And, you know, while everybody around here is focused on that coronavirus, you know what's going on in Africa? They got billions of locusts. They are threatening Africa's entire food supply. And there are activists that want to ban the only good tools that'll stop the locusts. We're going to talk with Angela about all of that. And six states have presidential primaries today, including the key state of Michigan. We're going to be talking to you about all of that. And in fact, we'll bring in the only poll that matters when it comes to primaries and presidents and politics. That's the Barber poll. And Andrew Ceresi. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, yesterday we talked about the best states for fiscal stability. And you'd like to be in those states, right? Well, there are now, today, the top 10 states for, or worst states for fiscal stability. You don't want to be in those. So stay tuned for that. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you have got to go to Andrew's Master Barber. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. It's a great haircut. Price cannot be beat. They're open, by the way, Tuesdays through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. And also, visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com. You can listen to our show anytime, at your leisure. Don't have to listen to us at 10 o'clock on a Monday, Tuesday, or Friday. You can listen to us at 3 in the morning if you want to. Go to ourfreedomworks.com. Big Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. Ourfreedomworks.com. Well, Ed, I'm looking here at the stock market. And the last I looked, about 800 points to the good. So that's good news. I don't see what it's doing right now, but that's good news. With all due respect to the virus, I'm more worried about the effects of the stock market.
Yeah, me too. That's the big problem.
Yeah. So we're starting off the day on a positive note there. In fact, stock futures looking to bounce back from the worst one-day point drop ever. Ever. Futures were pointing toward more losses until President Trump started talking about the coronavirus task force. Today, I guess it started turning things around, or yesterday. The major futures indexes indicated a gain of close to 5%. That's about 1,000 Dow points. And Trump has said we're going to take care of the American public. They're evaluating a number of options to do just that. And, you know, that includes potential payroll tax cut. So that may have helped boost it. That would be a backstop for hourly wage earners, so nobody will miss a paycheck. And ongoing conversations with hard-hit industries, including the airlines industries, and, you know, the hospitality industries, restaurants, hotels, yeah. Airlines. And Ed, you can't take that big cruise you wanted to take now because everybody's afraid of, they're going to shut down, I think, all of these passenger lines.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be at an event this weekend, Bands on the Bay and Safety Harbor. And the director, she said to me yesterday, she said, we're a little worried about this year's attendance, whether people are going to stay away because of the coronavirus. And I said, come on, you know.
But she may be right.
I don't know.
It's hard.
I mean, the stock market is one thing. You know, oil, there's a problem there, you know, with oil, you know, plummeting, which is great on the gas price. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
$2 a gallon, that's great.
It's getting there.
But, you know, you try to calm the fears here, but you see places like Italy that close their borders, and they're on lockdown. Golly.
They got... They're trying to quarantine everybody in the country over there, because they've been hit pretty hard. But you know, the truth is we got some facts about the coronavirus. In fact, I should talk about them now that I found to ease your fears a little bit. You know, the more you know about things, the less you're afraid. First of all, the coronavirus itself, it's a family of viruses. It's been named after the way it looks. You know, it looks like a crown. That's why they call it a coronavirus. And most coronaviruses give you mild symptoms that you easily recover from. Now, this one, it's called COVID-19, okay? It's one of the coronaviruses in a family of coronavirus. It's not the same as the other ones because the other ones commonly circulate among humans and cause a mild illness. Like the cold.
Black girl?
But in this particular case, this is involved with animal viruses. And so there was a transfer there. And this is not normal. Usually animals and humans do not share a virus. But in this case, they do. Give you an example of two other viruses that originated from animals, MERS and SARS. Those two also came from animals. So, you know, most people, if you're old and feeble, that's who you worry about, old and feeble.
Or immune deficiencies.
So I'm worried about Joe Biden. I'm very worried about him. I'm afraid he's going to catch it.
He's got his own problems.
And so we're praying for Joe. And we're going to talk later about Joe's praying for Michigan because there's a primary involving that state, and that one is a biggie for both him and Bernie Sanders.
Did you want to hear this thing where Dr. Drew tells the media to shut up?
Yeah, let's hear Dr. Drew tell the media to be quiet.
Is now accusing the U.S. of spreading fear after new travel restrictions were imposed, including a mandatory 14-day quarantine on returning U.S. citizens who have been in certain parts of China. So, Dr. Drew, are we overreacting?
Yes. Yes.
I'm hearing this from doctors left and right.
Yes, and we are not overreacting. The press is overreacting, and it makes me furious. The press should not be reporting medical stories as though they know how to report it. If we have a pandemic, I won't know how to tell that we're actually having a pandemic because everything is an emergency. Mm. People that are infectious disease specialists, the CDC, the epidemiologists, need to take this very seriously. The press needs to shut up because you're more likely to die of influenza
That's what doctors are saying.
However, I'm not trying to go against you, but I have a question. It is now beat SARS in terms of fatalities, 362, and they're saying
its fatality rate is still lower.
But they're saying it spreads fast.
It's a mild illness. It spreads all over the place, and it's only out of the 17,000 documented infected. I bet there's hundreds of thousands of cases, 300 deaths.
Okay.
And always in immunocompromised people, always in people that are at risk for these sorts of things. If they get a severe viral respiratory infection, whether it's flu or corona or whatever, all of these can hurt people who are compromised. They can. The rest of us need to wash our hands carefully, get our influenza vaccines, listen to the CDC. If there's a problem, they will let us know.
The CDC made it very clear that 5,000 people just in the last 2 weeks have died from the flu.
Thank you.
In America
and
alone.
Why are we panicked about that? Three people died on the streets of Los Angeles this morning from homelessness. If that were coronavirus, people would freak the hell out.
You're right.
Why aren't we putting our parties in the right place? It's the press. The press does not know how to report on medical issues. It's where I first learned
about
fake news.
Should we have consultants? How How could we fix this?
When Anthony Fauci, who's one of their leaders in infectious disease, gets on a national news broadcast and goes, don't worry about it, stop worrying about it.
Good to
and
know.
Then if there's some data where he says we need to worry about it, then you report on it. Otherwise, shut up.
Yeah, that's pretty good. He's right. You know, if we just go about our daily affairs, things are going to be just fine. You know, we're worried about this and worried about that, but just do what you normally do. Wash your hands a little bit more. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go around shaking everybody's hand either. You know,
don't kiss somebody you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cuts down on it.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Hey, listen, we're gonna talk about something else. It's going on in Africa. Locusts, and it's affecting their food supply, and you got activists that don't want them to take the appropriate measures. So we'll be right back and talk about that right after this break.
He took 100 pounds of clay, and then he said, hey, listen, I'm gonna fix this world today.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to tantalkhealth.com. That's tantalkhealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Come on over, baby. Hey, we're back on a Tuesday, would you believe, March the 10th, and delighted to have Angela Logomassini join us. She is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. She specializes in the environment, regulations, consumer freedom, all of those good things, and she wants to talk a little bit about these locusts in Africa that are threatening the African food supply, and how there are activists out there that don't want the appropriate things that will really stop these locusts from taking place. Angela, welcome to Freedom Works.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You know, we're talking about the coronavirus. Everybody's worried about it. And in the meantime, you know, things like this are occurring, probably much more important, especially in Africa, to the well-being of the people, this locust problem. Tell us a little bit about what is going on with the locusts and the food supply there.
Well, you know, every so many years, the conditions are just right, and the locusts that usually are in the desert explode in their populations, and they start swarming and moving out to areas where people are farming. And this year it is extreme, in some places worse than it has been in 70 years, but definitely worse overall than it's been in maybe 25 years. And they're going crazy, and they're just not well prepared to fight them. And at the same time, you know, we've been banning pesticides left and right, and it's easy for us here. We have other other options here in the United States and developed world, but they need to knock these things down fast. And they need tools, and, you know, they've been banned, and there are fewer and fewer things. To top it off, environmental groups, a lot of them funded by European groups, you know, Western nations, are out there trying to get bans, and they're making it more difficult to fight the locust, and it's really out of control. They're saying now if they don't get them under control, they can increase 500 times by June. And we're talking about massive swarms. We're talking about billions of locusts. Uh-huh. And so while we're all focused on the coronavirus, this is something that's happening that threatens the food supply for millions of people.
Yeah, in fact,
they're moving from mm-hmm. Africa into Asia. It's really serious.
Yeah, I was just reading here. A swarm of 40 million locusts can actually eat as much food as about 35,000 people in a single day.
Yeah.
I mean think about it that way.
Insane.
Wow.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah. So there are certain pesticides, and I guess a lot of this is happening in East Africa, and you mentioned it's starting to enter Asia, threaten the food supply there. What are some of the things that can be done if the activists were not around? Are there certain pesticides that really work well? And why are the activists so dead set against them?
Yeah, well, back about a decade ago, or a little more than a decade ago, they banned a lot of pesticides that were what they call persistent, including DDT. Globally, they wanted to ban these things, even though they could be used strategically to fight things like malaria, which at the time was devastating millions of people. They did make an exemption for DDT to fight malaria, but their other products, Dieldrin, was completely banned, and it used to be used to create barriers. So because it was more persistent, you could spray thin bands around your farm, and it would stop the young locusts that couldn't fly yet from actually coming into your farm. And then you would use the aerial spraying to control the adult locusts that were swarming and flying. And you got to be very aggressive, and you want to knock them down before they start reproducing that next generation. But we banned these things, and we're continuing to ban things, even in the West, meaning taking more things off the market. So it becomes harder and harder. So there are some now that are non-persistent that can be used, and they are trying to spray, but it costs money, and they strategically are not set up for this. There are issues also related to storage. You can't store these things forever, so it becomes a real challenge. But it's this sort of crazy environmentalists who make claims that are not supported, saying, we are all getting cancer from these things, when in reality, it's very low-level use. It's short-term, and the ones that they have now will disappear within a few days in the environment.
Yeah.
But there's this zero tolerance policy, although they're not zero tolerance for organic pesticides, which can be just as bad, if not used strategically as well. It's sort of a religion of sorts.
Yeah. Now, how bad is it for the people in Africa? Now, this is East Africa. They got troubles there ongoing for a lot of reasons. But to add this thing to their list. Does it result in people actually having lack of food issues?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's very scary. They already have what they call, food insecurity. They already have challenges. So for whatever they have is greatly under threat, and it is the survival of millions of people. This is a really major thing.
Yeah.
Hunger is going to be a really big problem if they don't get this under control, because, the season is coming where they're, their crops are going to be flourishing and they're going to be destroyed, really devastated. If you look at the photos, look online, they're talking about billions and hundreds of billions of swarms of locusts. They cover everything. They eat everything in sight. So if you're a farmer, you're left defenseless if you don't have some sort of pesticide. And pesticides are the only thing right now. I mean, they were talking about the Chinese releasing 100,000 ducks, and there's also discussion of,
ducks?
Other types of pesticides that take 2 weeks to work. We don't have 2 weeks. They need to knock these things down fast. Hopefully in the future they'll come up with other better ways, to fight them. They are using GPS to track them. So that's a new technology that's, for this type of challenge. It's great. But, they need the tools to kill them, knock them down fast.
Right. We're talking with Angela Logomassini, senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, about all this trouble with locusts in Africa, in East Africa. Their food supply situation, very, very bad. Well, Angela, are the Are the people, the governments in Africa, are they even listening right now to these activists? I mean, I wouldn't. I would say, bother me later. We got to stop the locusts. We're going to stop them.
Well, they were considering a proposal to ban 250 products last fall. And these NGOs were pushing this. So, yes, some of them are listening. Maybe now, maybe less. I know they've banned some products in India. I mean, this is going into Asia as well. It makes no sense. You know, you should have more tools in your arsenal. But the more they ban and the more we make it difficult in our country for, you know, companies to develop new products, and it is difficult because of the regulations here and because of our environmental activists, there'll be fewer things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really terrifying. That's, you know, you talk about resistance. The answer to resistance is more products, the opportunity to rotate things in and out. It's not to get rid of them, you know, not to be defenseless.
Right.
But it's to be strategic. And, of course, these things need to be strategically used and carefully used, and they can be. But, you know, this is an emergency, an urgent situation. Really, yes. Can't sit back and wait.
Now, I don't know too much about the ebb and flow of the locusts, but do they come like every X amount of years or something like that? And may I also ask you, if you know, in the history of battling locusts in Africa, has it getting better overall, the same, worse, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think it should be better than it is.
Than it used to be?
I think it should be, but I don't know
should
that
be.
It is.
Okay.
Because we have banned a lot of things that you could use to fight them. It does ebb and flow. I mean, and it depends on climatic conditions. Some people are saying this is, you know, climate change because they had some cyclones that created more water. And when there's water, it becomes vegetation in the desert. The locusts start to reproduce. And then when they get to a mass, they start to migrate. They don't usually migrate. They usually stay in the desert. This has been happening long before mankind used fossil fuels. So I don't know that you can say they're saying that it's global warming. I'm not an expert in that field. But it seems to me that this has been something that's been going on since, you know,
probably
biblical times.
Yeah, exactly.
It's something that...
About the biblical. Yeah, they've always, it's one of the things they always wish to plague a locust on the bad guys in the Bible. So they've been around for a long time. A matter of... back then, I guess they just let them come and go. And when they came, they went and ate everything in sight, you know, mm-hmm. before they left.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
And
go ahead.
Yes, and in Africa, it's not just locusts. I mean, there's a lot of other things that they're battling that we don't have as much problem with because we have, you know, genetically modified crops and we have better tools. And, you know, what they need is technology that we have to promote high-yield farming and to feed people. But the trend is to promote what they call agroecology, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is, they used to call it sustainable development, but it really is to keep people in a subsistence farming situation. And that's just really wrong.
Right.
People should be able to develop around the world and have the good things that we have. So keeping them away from technology is a very scary thing.
Now, are locusts native to Africa? Can we get a swarm of locusts in America like that, or is it just because we don't have the desert area?
I think that they are native to that part of the world, this type of locust.
Because of the desert areas?
Yeah, the desert locust, yeah. And so they've been in Africa and Asia for centuries, for forever, as long as, you know, time is recorded or whatever. So,
you know.
But they're not in other parts of the world, not like this.
So
they're unfortunately in the line of fire in that regard.
So right now, are they in the midst of this swarm thing? Are they getting towards the end of it?
The concern is, as we go into spring, it can go all the way, once we get to June, they're worried that they're going to increase. This is the UN Food and Agriculture Organization's warning. They could get up to 500 times as many.
Wow.
500, yeah, I mean, so, and they're already in the billions. And they're already doing.
You mean it's going to be around?
If you go online and Google it, you'll see the images. It's terrifying.
So they're going to be dealing with this particular swarm or plague through a good portion of the summer.
Yes, through the season, and hopefully, the goal is, you know, the Food and Agriculture Organization is raising money and they're getting helping deploy pesticides. The goal is to stop that, so that they can have a productive spring. But if left unchecked, that's what they're
Holy
wanting
Toledo.
To happen.
Yeah, I would ignore the activists and get right to whatever, especially because these things are airborne. You got to get up there and spray, don't you? You got to have that stuff dropping down from planes, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yes, yes. So they're doing aerial spraying, but they can also do ground level spraying.
Yeah.
But they have to have the product to do that.
I see.
And, you know, in some of these parts of the world, they also have war and other problems that they're dealing with.
Yes.
You know, that make it very difficult for them to get in there and do that.
Yeah, for all the trouble
challenges.
For all the trouble we have over here, you just think about that part of the world and you go, you know what? Things could be a lot worse. They could be a lot worse. Angela, thank you so very much for coming on and talking to us. It was very good of you to do so. Keep up your good work. Maybe we'll talk again down the road.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Angela Logamassini from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. All right. Going to take our break. When we come back, the proprietor of the Barber Poll will be with us. We're going to talk about Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, President Trump, primaries, and all things political.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Yes, indeed. We're back on a Tuesday. Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. That's what we're all about here at Freedom Works now. Delighted to have the proprietor of the only poll in this country that really makes a difference, the Barber Poll, Andrew the Master Barber. And Andrew, we got a lot to talk about, my friend. First of all, we got six states having presidential primaries today, including Michigan, with the most delegates involved. And then second most is, Washington State. They have 89 delegates. Michigan's got 125. We got Mississippi. We got Missouri. We got North Dakota. We got Idaho. So we got a lot of things going on. Are you going to be watching? And do you think Bernie Sanders might be in a little bit of trouble?
Well, I already know Bernie Sanders is in trouble because, it's like I told you, this is all shut up already. They know they have nobody. Okay, they don't want Bernie. They know Biden's going cuckoo. Either he's going cuckoo or he's faking it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Or he's faking it. And I'm telling you, I'm taking all odds right now that Hillary Clinton will be his vice president.
Wow.
Okay? And I'm telling you, this is their setup. This has been going, Paul, there's so much collusion going on with the Chinese, with the coronavirus. I'm telling you, they're all in cahoots to take down Trump, man.
And, okay, I'm just thinking about this. I mean, to some extent, I think you make some sense, but then I'm thinking, why would they want Hillary Clinton as vice president?
Well, listen, Hillary can draw the crowd. No matter how we say she's hated, no matter what, she will draw the crowd.
Okay.
If Bernie's going cuckoo, they get Bernie, give him the nomination, Hillary's the vice president. Okay? That's the only chance they got to beat Trump. Now, if they do by chance beat Trump, okay,
yeah,
and they pull out Amendment 25, the president's gone cuckoo, the vice president takes over. It's simple, Paul. Come on, a moron can figure this out. Ahead, laugh, my friend.
I don't mean to.
I understand, but I'm telling you, you watch and see.
Now, Saturday, Biden and Bernie are going to be doing a debate.
That's going to be beautiful. I'm ordering pizza, popcorn, and beer, man. It's going to be the best show on earth.
They're going to be talking for 2 hours. I'm just wondering. I mean,
they're going to pull Bernie. They're going to pull both of them out in wheelchairs now because they can't stand. Okay, and you're going to listen. Did you see Hillary badmouthing Bernie Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, why do you think she badmouthed him so much for?
Well, I think they've got this kind of feud that's been going on for a while, and Bernie, of course, is upset that the thing was stolen from him
in
the last presidential election. Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Paul. Paul, I'm telling you, let me tell you something, Paul. I'm slow in my barbershop right now because of this coronavirus.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that again, and we have talked about that.
Paul, it's slow. And, you know, people are afraid.
They are afraid.
And they mm-hmm. built this up too much, Paul, I'm telling you.
Yeah. We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber about his business right now. By the way, Andrew, the stock market is up about 530 points to the good, which is kind of good news.
Paul, it's going to go up and down like a roller coaster right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to go down. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Okay? How come we haven't heard anything about protests in China? Have you heard anything about that anymore?
No.
It's I wonder why.
All quiet on the Chinese front.
Okay, it's all quiet there, isn't it?
So you're talking right? You're talking now, suppression. Go ahead.
Now we got, you know, our industry is slowing down because we depended on China. We were addicted to them for all our textiles or whatever we needed to produce in this country, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Okay, the Chinese killed two birds with one stone, and I still tell you that the Democrats are involved in this whole thing. And the media is blowing up this coronavirus. They're trying to hurt Trump.
It's
all a conspiracy against him, Paul.
There are a lot of people that are actually saying that China indeed might have been involved, I say the government of China, in the release of this particular virus, that it might not.
They killed two birds with one stone, Paul.
Yeah.
They were upset with Trump. He hurt their economy was hurting before. When he put the tariffs on him, he blasted the hell out of them, okay? So the Chinese are mad at him, and they had protests. Mm-hmm. They killed two birds with one stone. They're hitting our economy. They're hitting us where it hurts, in the pocket, Paul.
They're hitting the world's economy because they released the virus, if they did, in China.
That's right. Look at Italy. They're all shut down. It's all done on purpose. They're trying to make Trump look bad.
Wow.
And let's face it. Look at the oil crisis. You know, OPEC doesn't like Trump.
Well, do you think Hillary knows about all this?
Of course she does.
Oh, boy.
Of course she does, Paul. Come on. You got to be a fool not to think she doesn't.
Oh, wow. You think Trump thinks that?
And I know Trump knows what's going on too.
You think he buys that? He buys into that?
Oh, I guarantee he's buying it.
Okay. Well, you know something. Along with all of that, I got to tell you about this. Did you know that it's racist to call it the Wuhan the Wuhan virus? Multiple journalists expressing their outrage and disapproval on social media over using the phrase Wuhan virus. In other words, we don't want anybody to know where it comes from because we're going to offend the country. Can you believe that?
It came from the bat. Remember?
It came from the bat. It might have come from the bat, but it came from supposedly from Wuhan. And so you're not supposed to use the word Wuhan and virus in the same sentence.
It was
sentence.
Some young chicks were eating bat soup.
Ew.
Wuhan. That's what they said.
Wuhan. Okay. Well, the MSNBC guy, Chris Hayes, he called labeling it the Wuhan virus, quote, astonishingly gross. What? He said, here's David Gura, who's Hayes' colleague. He says, calling COVID-19 the Wuhan virus is racist. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe that? What in the heck are they talking about?
Well, they got nothing better to talk about. Everything going on in the world, and then who's blaming who for this, who's calling names for that, it's ridiculous.
What do you think about Trump's idea of a lowering payroll taxes?
Hey, you know, let me tell you, Trump is going to do what he's got to do to take care of this to keep the economy going. Okay?
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
So, you know, he's not standing still, is he? I mean, he's trying to do different things.
He hasn't stood still, Paul, since this started a month ago.
That's right.
Okay, no matter what, they're trying to make him look bad, Paul. Let's face it.
Yeah.
The Democrats are the most disgusting, dishonest, vile people in the world.
Well, it seems like the press is stoking the flames of the coronavirus, don't you think?
Of course. They're pushing the bellows, buddy, getting the flame hotter.
Yeah. I was listening to C-SPAN again this morning, which I do quite a bit, and, I mean, they're making it sound like, I mean, it's the coronavirus has taken over the world. We're all going to die, and, you know, and I'm thinking, whoa, wait a second. First of all, unless you're very feeble and old, the chances are that even if you got the damn thing, nothing was going to happen to you other than some sniffles. And that's the truth. If you're in fairly good shape, you don't really have anything to worry about.
Well, we need something big to happen, Paul, and this way it'll take the attention away from maybe aliens will attack us or something, mm-hmm. and this way it'll take the attention away from the coronavirus.
Hey, I have a question for you. Why is it only Bernie and Biden that are going to be in the debate on Saturday? Why don't they bring in Tulsi Gabbard? I think it would be great to have the third one there while those two old fools are talking. At least she's
Paul,
young. At least
the Democrats, they put it down to where they want it. I told you. They want Biden.
Yeah, I guess they do.
That is their, Paul, they got nothing else.
Yeah.
The only thing they got is Hillary to attract the crowd. Who else is going to attract the crowd, Hillary? Nobody. If the minute Hillary announces, these people are going to go crazy. They'll forget all about Biden and Bernie.
Did you hear about...
I don't think Hillary's the one running.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber, by the way. Did you hear about the manipulation of Biden's gaffe when he was talking about we can't reelect Donald Trump? He got all screwed up, and now they're Team Trump.
It was planned.
Team Trump is ripping Twitter because they don't want to air that thing. Twitter says the thing was manipulated, and Team Trump says no, he really did stumble around. We didn't just have the entire thing; we had just kind of cut it a little short. He's got.
Oh, it's a perfect setup. Come on. And you know what?
What?
The Democrat people will be stupid enough to vote for Biden, but they're not voting for Biden. You got to realize that the vice president is their candidate, not Biden.
So, do you think Joe Biden is going to win the Michigan primary tonight?
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, there's no question about it. Even if he lost, he's going to win.
What about Washington? That one might go to Bernie Sanders. They got 89 delegates. What do you think?
Well, they're going to make it look like it's fair.
Oh, you think they're manipulating the vote in all of these states?
Of course.
Okay.
They're going to make it look like it's fair, Paul.
So the whole thing is staged?
Of course. It's got to be. They got nothing else.
Okay.
And they're going to screw Bernie out of it all. And did you see where Bernie screwed the last place he had one of his big rallies in out of $26,000?
What happened?
They said that he didn't sign a contract because only 24 hours notice where he was going to have this. I forgot where it was.
Yeah.
It was 24 hours notice, and he didn't sign a contract. So when he was done with his rally, he left everything there. The town got stuck cleaning up everything with a bill of $26,000.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Oh, for goodness sake. Bernie, come on. You got to pay your bills, buddy.
He knows better than that. He makes everybody else pay his bills.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Bernie. You know, that guy's never had a true job in his life.
That's right.
And he has, what, three mansions?
That's right.
He does not walk the walk, does he? By the way.
He's a politician, Paul.
He was on Fox.
I missed it.
News, and I watched it, and they really went after him about how he was going to be able to pay for all of this. And he did the biggest L ducko, you know, ducking here. He was better than Muhammad Ali. They were going after him, and he was ducking, and he wouldn't answer those questions directly about how the heck he was going to pay for it. And it's going to go ahead.
There is no answer. He's going to raise taxes. That's all he's got to say.
Yeah, but even raising taxes can't pay for it.
He's raising, that's right. Well,
no,
whatever.
No, you
can file bankruptcy, and after 7 years, we get good credit again.
You know what he uses for an argument? Like, you know, he wants to, of course, with health care, and he also wants to do the environment. And he's got
He's going to do everything.
He's got a bunch of other things. I mean, where's he going with all of that?
Well, he's going to pull it out of the air.
He has no way of paying for it, and they really made him look like he was calculating, you know, because he wouldn't answer directly. How he has no idea how to pay for it. I mean, the guy, for all of these years, you would think he would have a good answer on how to pay for this.
If you see this, how come the American people don't? Why don't the millennials see it, Paul?
Oh, by the way, they had a group of pro-Sanders people in the audience. They're all cheering every time he said something. And I'm thinking, these people are completely ignorant.
That's right.
They don't have any idea how to pay for any of this. All they care about is getting it going and then worrying about paying for it later.
That's right. That's right. Well, isn't that what the young society does today? Fill out their credit cards. I want it now.
Yeah.
I'll worry about paying for it later. They all go buy cars. They all get repossessed. They haven't for 3 months.
Yes, I think you're right. So you're saying that your business is suffering a little bit. People are kind of afraid to come in?
Of course.
Wow.
Of course. Yeah. I believe it or not, I'd say I'm down 50%.
Yeah, and you have a lot of older people, older guys come in.
That's right.
And they are a little bit concerned, aren't they, right now?
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah. How long do you think this is going to last? Do you have
Until something good happens. Airplanes got to fly into a building, kill 3,000 people.
Oh, God, we don't. Yeah.
Okay, unless that happens, this is going to go on right till the election day.
You think so, huh?
If it's not this virus, it'll be something else.
But you don't think the Trump... Do you think this is going to hurt Trump? Do you think this is going to hurt his chances?
No, I think it's going to make him stronger.
Oh, really?
He's doing everything... I think people know he's doing everything he can, Paul. Okay. I mean, let's face it. How do you stop the germ?
Yeah.
What do you want them to do? Fly the bombers over spraying us?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, let's be real. How do you stop it?
So you do think people will appreciate what Trump's trying to do?
Of course. Okay. Well, look at, I'm telling you. When Hillary announces, or when Biden says Hillary's my VP, you watch, the whole world's going to change again.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, it will happen just as much as I was sure Trump was going to win this election.
Wow. Well, you were right about Trump before, so... Got to listen to you. Listen, Andrew, thank you so much, my friend. We will be
all right, Paul.
We will be back with you on Friday.
All right, buddy. You have a good week.
And the same to you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Master Barber, Andrew. Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, did you know that there's a chance that Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer will be censured?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Viking Encampment, Pit of Misery, Escape Room, all at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Weekend, February 15th through March 29th. Discount tickets are available at Circle K and online at BayAreaRenFest.com. Irish dancers, beer Olympics, and men in kilts. The largest St. Patty's Day party in the Bay Area. Wear your green and rally your team. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Discount tickets available at Circle K and at BayAreaRenFest.com. Just do it!
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back for the final segment on a Tuesday of Freedom Works. We thank you very much for being with us. Little update, the stock market, Dow Jones up 522 points at this moment. So let's pray it keeps going up, right? In the meantime, did you hear Chuck Schumer the other day when he was at that... pro-life rally outside of the Supreme Court building? Well, Schumer may still face consequences from his colleagues after facing criticism from both conservatives and liberals for remarks that he directed toward two Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. And he did it at an abortion rights rally last week. And it sounded like a threat. Here's what he said. He said, "I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions." He was relating these awful decisions to a case involving abortion, which I believe is involving the state of Louisiana, but has huge nationwide involvement. So that to me does sound like a little bit of a threat. And I think they have a right to consider a censure. Now, you know what they do in a censure? They actually make you stand there while different senators come up and talk about what you did and chastise you. It's kind of like a, ashes and sackcloth kind of thing, you know, kind of embarrass you. So here was Schumer speaking outside the Supreme Court building, and he was at an event hosted by the Center for Reproductive Rights as the Supreme Court, was hearing oral arguments. And so I think you got to be very careful about rebuking any of these Supreme Court justices. And when you call them out by name, and even John Roberts, the Chief Justice, responded to Schumer. He called Schumer's words inappropriate, dangerous. I mean, even some liberals are coming out. As an example, Harvard Law School professor Lawrence Tribe called Schumer's remarks inexcusable. So there's a chance that that they're going to go ahead and censure him. I know that Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, has been talking about it as well. And in the meantime, Schumer made some sort of a half-hearted apology. He claimed he was passionate and angry, but he didn't apologize. He said he should not have used the words I used. And then he said they didn't come out the way I intended. Well, they did come out the way you intended. And, you know, here's a guy that's always going after Trump. I mean, that guy is always out there with his little granny glasses. By the way, he ought to read from a teleprompter, shouldn't he? Instead of reading down, all you see is the top of his head whenever he's talking, you know, in the Senate. And he's always reading, you know, directly from the paper rather than looking up. Anyway, that would be interesting to see a censure. You know how a lot of people said they should have tried to censure Donald Trump rather than impeach him, and they might have had a better chance at doing that. Anyway, it is time, Ed, for our top 10. And by the way, I got to ask you before I do that, since you watch sports and you know a lot about it, is there a chance we're going to have the NCAA basketball tournament and some of these other tournaments that are coming up with fewer people because of the coronavirus? Have you noticed if they're going on with that kind of an issue?
I don't think so, I think by that time it runs its course, to tell you the truth.
Oh, that'd be good. I hope
so.
You know,
I think within the next week or so, I think we need more education out there. You know, quit listening to what the media is telling you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we need more education. So I think if something breaks, there's never going to be a cure.
You don't think so?
You know, I don't
think. How about a vaccine?
We can't prevent the regular flu that goes out.
True.
Regular one, you know?
Yeah.
There's a 50-50 chance you're going to get it, even if you get a shot. But, I mean, Canada's doing it right. You know, they had a lady that passed away from their first one. But they explained she was an elderly person that had respiratory problems.
Yeah.
Even you get regular influenza.
That's the ones you got to worry about.
Yes, exactly.
You're right.
So.
You're exactly right. Okay. Thank you, Ed. Very well put. It is time for our top 10. We have the top 10 worst states for fiscal stability. We did the top 10 best states yesterday for fiscal stability. And by the way, Tennessee was the very best state for fiscal stability. But now we're going to tell you people what are the worst states, and I hope you're not living in one of them. So without further ado, here we go. Number 10, Ohio. Yes, I would have thought they're a good state, but they're not. They're not doing well. In fact, they're, 44th worst for long-term fiscal stability and 17th worst for short-term. All right. Number 9. And this one I'm not surprised about. California. You know, come on. They're doing real bad. I'm surprised with all of the liberal craziness out there. But they're 40th in terms of long-term fiscal stability and 33rd short-term. All right. Number 8. Louisiana. Yeah. Louisiana. So they've always had issues, you know. I don't know. Their government, you always think about Louisiana government as somewhat corrupt. It's always had an issue for a long time. Number 6. Ooh, Mitch McConnell, look out. Kentucky? The state of Kentucky has trouble with their fiscal situation. I would have thought that they didn't have it that bad, but they do. Number 5. Another one that's not surprising, Connecticut. I know Connecticut's in bad shape. You know, it's a blue state. They have been overspending for a long time. Number 4. Another state that has not got a lot of wealth, actually, New Mexico. It's considered one of our poorer states when it comes to those things. And they're 49th overall for long-term fiscal stability. So, number 3. Our biggest state, Alaska. Our biggest in terms of size. Not population. But again, you know, we have a lot of people. I guess they're not, I wonder why. I mean, I guess they're, you know, got a big state with not a large population and a lot of people that, quite frankly, aren't wealthy. But
well, a lot of them are dependent on government help because they can only work half the year.
Yeah, that's true, too, right.
So some of those northern states, they have that where they pretty much work only half the year.
Well, maybe that's it. They are 49th in terms of long-term fiscal stability. 49th. Okay. Number 2. New Jersey. Now, you know, there's another state that you think about that's their government has been digging itself deeper and deeper into a hole. I'm not surprised to hear about that. All right, Ed. What do you think is the number one state that has the worst fiscal responsibility?
I'm going to say, because they're such a mess, how about California?
You weren't listening. That was 9th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. You were, no, to be honest, Ed was involved in the discussion. He wasn't able to listen. So I'm going to give you another choice. Do you have anybody else?
Well, the chance I hit it again. Hey, let's, you know, yesterday I said Montana. Let's go with Montana again.
Montana?
Yeah.
You thought it was the best. Now you think it's the worst.
Maybe I just got
roll the drum.
All right. Maybe I just got the days mixed up.
And I am embarrassed to say it. The worst state for fiscal stability is Illinois.
Uh-oh.
It's terrible there. They have so much trouble. We could talk forever about Illinois and their bad government. Anyway, thank you very much. We're going to be back on Friday, folks, for Freedom Works. Remember, be good, drive safely, and always remember, freedom works.
And I'm waiting on the 1205, hoping it'll take me just a little farther down the line. The moonlight, you're just a heartache.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Beaten up. More testing. I'm Michael Toscano. Wall Street showed some life this morning, moving back from the cliff they went over yesterday in that historic plunge, as we hear from Steve Kastenbaum in New York.